So I'm here
Hello.
with Doug Shapiro. I'm interviewing Doug, who is about to open in Fully Committed at Sarasota Jewish Theater.
Fully committed at Sarasota Jewish Theater, running from January 31st to February 4th.
And am I right? Have you done Fully Committed before?
I have, yes. I finished a run this past summer at the Barnstormers Theater in Tamworth, New Hampshire, where this was my 23rd season there.
Oh my God, you have a home then, right? You have sort of a artistic home. That's lovely.
I do. Yeah, I love it there very, very much.
So I'm going to want to ask how that happened, but to begin,
Sure.
I'm going to ask the question I always ask, which is, do you remember the very first time it occurred to you that you might want to be an actor?
I got two. If I keep it short, can I tell you both?
You can tell me both.
Oh boy. All right, so the first one is not the most noble reason, is because I was jealous of my sister. I grew up in Setauket, Long Island. At Setauket School, there was an after-school program called musical play. And my sister Andrea was playing 75th Orphan from the Right. And afterwards, my parents took her out for Carvel ice cream and told her how amazing she was. And I was the baby. I'm like, this will not stand. So the next year, I went out for musical play.
Okay, so let me see if I get this right. You didn't know anything about acting. You didn't watch TV and think I'd like to do that. You didn't have family that did it. It was the Carvel and the applause. Is that right? Did I get that
I
right?
think I might have been theatrically inclined. I mean, my parents did take us into the city to Broadway shows every now and then.
Ah.
However, I'm the only one that is in the arts.
Ah. Okay. All right. So the next year you went out for musical
Play, and
play.
I was Mr. Van de Gelder as a third grader,
Oh, nice.
opposite a sixth grader who played Dolly Levi, and she was exactly twice my height.
I see.
Very
Great.
good pictures.
And
I
did you like it?
loved it.
Okay.
And then, so I was inclined for it. And I did theater in high school and I went to a drama camp, French Woods Festival, for 7 of the best summers of my life.
So your family sent you to drama camp.
Yes.
Did anybody say, did you say, I'm thinking about being an actor? Was it, did they say, this is fine, but don't be an actor? Did any of that come up at all? Or it was just, oh, well, this is what he does for the summer?
It was that conversation of make sure you have a backup plan kind of thing. But I knew that I loved it, but I never took that next step in my head until I was filling out all the papers in the kitchen because my dad had convinced me that that was the right thing to do. I was an honor student. I was third in my class. And then when he left the kitchen, my oldest stepbrother, Phil, snuck into the room, asked me point blank, Doug, do you want to be an actor? And no one had asked me that. And I said, yes. He said, what are you filling these out for?
Oh.
And I switched to that and I switched right there. And then I studied and then I eventually went to music theater as a music theater major at Syracuse University. Haven't looked back.
That's amazing. I mean, were you close to him?
Yes.
And do you think, I mean, this is actually quite remarkable, don't you think, that this is a life-changing, oh, by the way, do you want to be an actor? I mean, how did he know?
People tend to see these things before I do.
Well, then you're
It's
lucky
it was
that they
also in
see him.
college.
Yeah.
In college, I was like explaining a whole thing to a friend and he had to look me straight in the eye and say, Doug, you're gay. And as soon as he said it, I went, oh, okay.
It's interesting. I think that that's not uncommon. But I also think that you're lucky that there
Very.
are people who actually see you and care enough about you to say this stuff to you.
I'd agree.
Not a lot of people, I mean, well, I don't know what I don't want to I don't know how many people there are, but I do think that is very special in both of these cases,
Also
but
that these two
especially your
particular
brother.
people were, they came from a place of love,
Yes.
not judgment, not anger, not fear.
No.
It was
Well,
a,
if this
I
brings
care
up
about you,
another,
let me help you along.
it was quite amazing to do that. So to lobby
Yes.
for you. You were lucky. And
He
so,
lobbied behind the scenes, if you will.
yeah, no,
He
he didn't
waited till
want to
my
come
dad
out
left
and
the room.
say, stepmom, what, I'm going to tell your son not to go to college,
Yeah, no.
right? A
Yeah, he just
stepmom.
sort of slipped in and was like, hey, dog.
Still, it's quite something, I think. And so congratulations to him and to you. So then, okay, so you go to drama camp, you go, and then you major in.
A musical theater and vocal jazz and at Syracuse University.
So then what happens?
Well, after I graduated, I just started working with people that were way better than me. And that's really where I got even more education. And you just sort of steal a little bit of what all these other amazing people are doing, and then you wake up one day and realize you have your own technique. When I left Syracuse, the first job I got was at a theater called Worcester Foothills Theater in Worcester, Massachusetts. And I worked behind the scenes, and the joke of my job description was spackle. If there was a little job, I filled it in. If there's a big job, I filled that in. I did everything except box office because I knew that if I learned box office, I would get sucked in there and never get out. But one of the things that I did at Foothills Theater was I helped to coordinate the casting. I had no decision-making power. I was 22, 23 years old. But I got to see what all the professional actors sent in. And I got to see the marketing materials that I connected with. And, things that I thought, oh, this is great. And sometimes the things that I thought were great, my bosses who were actually doing the casting didn't think was great. An example was one person sent in a stick of gum taped to the back of their resume. I thought that was awesome. Another person, their headshot had them and their golden retriever. Well, I would like cast them in anything because dogs. My bosses were not as thrilled with those marketing choices.
So, were you learning what to do and what not to do, or were you learning to follow your own bliss, regardless of what others were doing?
I was learning that the lesson there, I think, was, do you be, market the way that you feel is right, that is authentically you, and the way that you show up in the room. Your marketing, like the first letter that they receive should be in the same voice as the person that walks into the room that says that material and sends the follow-up thank you. It's all consistently the same human being, and that will connect with some people. And it will not connect with others. And it's a matter of finding your tribe.
Yeah, I think I could be wrong about this, but I think that
Never.
somehow, however fractured your family life was, you came out of it with a pretty strong sense of yourself, a pretty strong ego strength. Other people might have looked at that and said, oh, stick of gum, I'm never doing that. Oh, dog, I'm never doing that. They clearly don't like it and I'm not doing that. But you didn't do that.
When you're following your passion, I remember once I was working on a Shakespeare and I was playing at the Shakespearean Theater of Maine. And one of the characters I was playing was, because I'm always on the multiple character track. And one of the characters was a priest who has to finally just call all the other characters on his stuff and say, stop it, pull yourself together. So there was a married couple that were both the local priests in town, husband and wife. And I asked if I could bring them something over, and we had a chat. And one of the things they said to me was that when you really, really love something, you quit every day. Their example was everything's going great. The organ just got fixed. The congregation's all in order. And then someone comes up to me and says, my child has just killed himself. What do I do? And they go, Why me, God? I am not equipped to do this. That's every day in acting, or maybe you feel something similar in your chosen craft.
Was.
Well, I mean, there are many times I quit every day, and then you just take a deep breath and you wake up the next day and you're like, you're back in it.
Because it's yours.
True. You don't have a choice.
No, I hear that a lot, and I think if when you wake up the next day, you're not back in it, it's because it wasn't yours.
Maybe, but this is our tikkun olam. This is how we're
What?
looking to heal the world.
Say that again.
It's our tikkun olam, how we're looking to heal the world.
Yes. Okay, so you have this really serendipitous learning experience behind the scenes.
Yes.
And it sounds like you learn from everything that you do.
Yes.
Right, right. And so you didn't stay behind the scenes forever, clearly. So what
No,
happened?
well, also at that same job, whenever they would have like a small non-union acting role, like some servant that walks across the stage and opens the door, I did that too.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how long did you stay at that?
I was on the job there for 3 years, and then I left to be a full-time Boston actor and then would continue to work there as well. I did about 10 shows with Worcester Foothills Theater. But that's where I got my equity card. That's where that all started.
And still, you're thinking I'm an actor, and that's what I'm doing.
Yes.
Okay, so what happened then? Also, wait, hold on.
Well, eventually,
I just
oh,
remembered.
tell me.
You're also a singer. So, did you work as a singer?
Yes. Yeah, a majority of what I do are musicals. And even now, I mean, I've got it right now. The Christians are running me ragged this month. I'm singing for my regular church job at Madison Avenue Baptist Church, where I've been well over 15 years.
Wow.
I'm singing for the Church of the Epiphany on the Upper East Side for a few of their services. And I'm Christmas caroling. There's a group that I've been with over a decade, 81 a cappella memorized tight harmony carols.
Wow. That's
Yeah, good
amazing.
stuff.
Yeah. Okay, all right. I didn't that was an insertion.
All right.
So you moved to Boston? Is that
Yeah,
what you
I call myself a Boston actor, though I lived in Worcester, about 45 minutes outside of it. Then when I'd been there about 7 years and was turning 30, the 7 year itch, turning 30, I had two mentors who both said to me, and again, well, here it is again, somebody like saying it to me out of love, Doug, it's time to go to New York.
Yeah.
And so I did.
It's a really recurring theme in your life that you find people who really see you and care enough about you to tell you what they see so you can act on it.
Yes.
It's lovely.
Yeah,
Okay, so you went to New
I'm a
York.
lucky, lucky man. Yep. And I've been here ever since. Funny thing is that theater that I told you about, because the theater's in New Hampshire, when I finally moved to New York, that's when I started getting hired to work up in New Hampshire every summer.
Of course.
Because now I'm a New York actor with Boston connections.
And jobs in New Hampshire. Yeah,
Yep, exactly.
it's lovely. It's lovely. Okay, so tell us how you wound up doing Fully Committed.
Sure. I'm going to try and phrase this well. I've been, all right, so as I said, I've been in the theater a long time. And if my leading values are kindness and integrity, it's something, both those things are respected up there. Integrity usually shows up for me as far as making recommendations. Like if I hear, if I know of a job opening, and I know one of my mishpacha could fill it, I have to make that connection. I'll stop giving someone CPR so that someone I know and love and respect can get in the way others have done for me. Those qualities are respected up there. And I've built a bit of a base of people that I've been told go to the box office and say what shows are dug is dug in. So coming out of the pandemic, there are certain restraints for for a theater of our size of you want to make the best shows possible, but with the fewest amount of actors and the smallest budgets you can until our feet are under us and we can start doing great big musicals again, which will bring in even more. So in that vein, they knew that if they did a one-man show and put me in it, that is something that would sell. And what the main thing that I do is being a multiple character bass baritone who plays all the other roles. In this case, they used it for me, and I'm really, really grateful they put their faith in me. It was a really good experience. But also the stepping into, okay, you're all here to see me do this thing, and clicking into the mindset of, okay, I'm an expert, which was very much a fake it till you make it type of thing for me. So I would be watching a lot of shows leading up to it, just watching people live in their expertise, watching great performances, watching people doing one-person shows, men, women, all races, all kinds, and just watching them own it. And even one show that I saw where it was, the person was not very, I wasn't terribly moved by their performance, and I was a little bit like, oh boy. And they were up there as if they had absolutely every right to be there. And there were people in the audience going, hooray! And I was like, okay. Yes, I am learning from you right now. This is what you need to take from the performance, because even if you didn't connect with me, you had every right to practice your craft and make your case. And that's what I brought in with me. Plus a lot of, before the show, memorizing really, 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 really early so that in my 1 week of rehearsal, that wouldn't be an obstacle and I could just learn. And also before the show, prayer and giving thanks to all the barnstormers that had come before me and say, I stand on your shoulders because, being there 23 years, a lot of amazing artists up there have passed on just to, have them with me. Just know in less than 5 minutes, the brownies are going to go off. I'm making brownies.
We would not want
We're
to.
multitasking here.
Yes, that's all right. I'll stop and wait while you do whatever. Right. Okay. All right. So
Less than 5 minutes.
you did it there, and now you're going to do it here. So how?
Yeah, crazy coincidence, how this happened. So there's a phenomenal actor named Craig Schwartz who was originally hired to do the role. And the man that usually directs him, Gus, has directed him in it 10 times. Craig got another opportunity. And I'd been wanting to work with Gus forever because he used to run another theater in New Hampshire and just great guy, great reputation. And one day on my phone, his name comes up. I'm like, what? And it was him saying he had done his research. He looked at my website. He read the reviews and asked people and they gave the thumbs up. So he offered me the role.
Okay, so you had a director when you did it before.
Yes.
And now you have another director.
Yes, I do.
Have you started rehearsals yet?
We've had some talks. I'm only going to have about 3 or 4 days of actual rehearsal before we do the show.
I
I start
see.
rehearsals January 22nd. We open on the 30th or something like that. Yeah, but the two directors have different concepts of the show.
That's what I was
And also
getting
the show
at.
has been around for a while. So there are script changes, new characters that I didn't do before that other people have.
Wait,
So
back
yeah.
up. Really?
Yeah.
Doesn't the writer have something to say with about them?
The play has evolved. When Taylor Ferguson, when Jesse Taylor Ferguson played the role on Broadway, he does not look like a Sam Polidowski. or Sam Pochevsky. So he changed his name to Sam Callahan. And the writer Becky Mode, I guess, has enough confidence in her material to let it evolve to meet the actor that's there.
And the director. They added characters? That's pretty amazing.
Oh, no, went to a prior script.
Oh,
So
really?
the script that I did was pretty much the one that was done on Broadway. But Gus has chosen an earlier version or elements of an earlier version because we had a talk back and forth about what he felt was important to him for the story he wanted to tell. And for me, it was I kind of like the humanity that's brought out in him with these. And we talked it out. It certainly wasn't, we didn't get into fisticuffs or anything, but it was we both he made a script that was a combination of what we both felt was important.
Yeah, I think I hear what you're saying, and I understand that it wasn't adversarial, and that both of you wanted the best production, and I would have imagined that it would be a challenge for you to be directed by somebody who has directed somebody 10 times doing it and has in his head what this thing looks like, you know? I mean,
Yes.
it's just. It's good for you. I mean, it's brave, I think.
It's also a gift. I mean, he probably knows a lot of tricks and turns I didn't know last time.
Yes. No, and this is, of course, why you're working. Because aside from the fact that you're good at what you do, you're not rigid.
Right. There's a lot to learn from every new person.
A lot of
And what a
people
gift to
won't
get to
help
do a
you.
role twice. The only other one is Mushnick, really. And Bella Zangler and Crazy for You. Otherwise, pretty much they're all new.
It's
It was
lovely.
fun to revisit.
Yeah, it's lovely. So congratulations on this. Do you know what you're doing
Thank
next?
you. After fully committed, I'm always doing my business role play and standardized patient work. I love it very much. Making better doctors and better medical students in the moment. So that's something I'd absolutely love to do. Hold
So
on one
you
second. I'm just getting the
go, get go,
brownies.
go. So my last question is always a variation on this. When you think about acting, a life as an actor, because it is what you are, it is what you do, what do you think about it? What would you say about it? How do you feel about having chosen to give your life to this work?
It's holy. We are what I get to do, what my fellow artists get to do, is help people to go through whatever experience they need to go through in that moment in a visceral way and bring them through. It is vital. It's important, and we deserve to be paid darn well for it. It is like breathing. When the pandemic, when the pandemic hit, what did people do? They played video games, which is people making crap for entertainment. They watched all their entire Netflix queue, a queue. That's all actors. That's all producers. That's all movie makers. They watched plays on Zoom. That was us. They listened to, they learned French. That was voiceover actors on tape helping you out. That's us. And
Yes.
it's wonderful, wonderful work, and I love it.
And that is a perfect place to stop. Thank you so much, Doug. Best of luck with this. Okay.
Thank you.